Sometimes, as I said, life is difficult. But even in that, I truly, truly do believe that God is good. Psalm 92, starting in verse 1, says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto His name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. We ask for your strength and your help. Bless those who need your hand in whatever they're going through. Protect us, strengthen us, help us serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. This time of year, we all focus on thankfulness, Thanksgiving. It's you know, people start saying, "Hey, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for?" You'll hear on the radio, "Well, I'll tell you what I'm thankful for." They're talking on the radio about it. Well, there's a couple things there. First of all, why is it just Thanksgiving week we're talking about what we're thankful for? I think we should be talking all year round about what we're thankful for. Another thing is, did you know that some people are just thankful? They're not thankful to. They think, "Well, I'm just going to be thankful. I don't have to be thankful to God or anything. I'm just thankful." No, I tell you, I'm thankful to God. Now, mind you, life isn't always, as I've said probably more than once, life isn't always fun and games. But I am thankful to God. And we do need to be grateful. And there are things we can be grateful for. The first thing we see here is that it talks about what gratefulness does for us. When you are grateful to God, it causes you to sing. It causes joy in your heart. And the grateful believer in Christ will share what God has done with others, which, by the way, will help other people as well. I mean, our thankfulness doesn't just help us, it helps other people. Because sometimes people need to know, hey, you know, this God is real and He can really do what people say He can. Now, mind you, the thing we need most, of course, is the forgiveness of sins. And that's why Jesus lived a perfect life on this earth, died on the cross, and rose again. But I want to tell you something. I understand that if that's all Jesus did for me, that would be enough, but folks, He has done so much more for me. He has done so much more for me. So why should we be grateful? Well, let's look at verse 4. I'll talk about verse 3 for a second. See how it lists instruments and stuff? You know, there's people that don't think you can use instruments in praising the Lord. Seems to say it's okay here. But when you get to verse 4, it says, starts naming reasons that we should be thankful. It says, "Thou, Lord, has made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands." Everything God has done for us, it's God that wins our battles. It's not us.
A lot of people fail because we try to do it ourselves. But it's God that wins the battles. And the battles are still difficult. The battles are still struggling and they're trials. But when we forget that it's God that's in charge, when we forget that it's God that helps when the time is right, we tend to be less grateful. Even in a good time, even when things go well, if we forget that God did it, we're a little less grateful because we think I did it. I'm thankful to myself. Well, that's not good. Let's look at verse 5. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. You know, when we keep our eyes on God, we can be awe-inspired by what He has done. And
every once in a while you hear somebody, right? They'll say, "What has God done for me lately?" I walk outside the doors of this building. I look up. I see trees. I see grass. I see a sky. It's a little chilly, but it's not raining. At least last time I checked, it's not. It's a pretty day. And even when it rains, that helps the plant. What has God done for me? I'm in a building preaching about Jesus Christ. And I'm really not afraid that somebody's going to bust in the doors and raid the place. That's what God's done for me lately. There's a lot God has done. And if we remember that, we can just be, absolutely awe-inspired by everything God's done. Look at creation. I know I mentioned the trees and the sky, but think about beyond that. The stars. And the best place to look at the stars is in a place where there ain't no other light but the stars. Because the other lights tend to blot it out somehow. But if y'all ever looked at the sky in pitch dark and started seeing the stars, it's like, whoa, what's that? Well, that's a Milky Way. What's that? That's a Little Dipper. That's a Big Dipper. That's Orion. All these things that God made and put in the sky. And they say occasionally you can even see a glimmer of a planet. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Let's look at verse 6. It says, a brutish man knows not, neither does a fool understand this. Well, you know how the Bible says a fool in his heart says there is no God? It is very foolish for man. And listen, if I've done it, I'm guilty too. It is very foolish for a man to walk outside saying, "What has God done for me lately?" Because He gave you the very breath you used to breathe in to ask the question. He gave you the very voice you used to ask the question. The very heartbeat that was beating when you asked the question. What has God done for me lately? It is really awe-inspiring, but there are those who take their eyes off God for whatever reason. There are those who take their eyes off God because they don't believe in God. You get a lot of those. There are those who've never had their eyes on God. There are those who, for whatever reason, have been hurt, and they blame God. You have all these reasons for people to take their eyes off God. And it's just like Peter, who was walking on the water, started looking around. He took his eyes off Jesus. He started looking around at all the mess going on. Folks, there's always mess going on. And Peter started to sink when he did that. And I think we start to sink kind of in a depression when we start taking our eyes off Jesus, because we start to be overwhelmed by all the mess that's going on. And I'm telling you something, even when you don't notice it, there's always mess going on. We live in a world full of mess. And it's going to be full of mess until Jesus takes over and clears the mess out. But God is still great. Verse 7 says, when the wicked spring as the grass, and when all workers of iniquity do flourish, it is they that will be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, your enemies, O Lord, for lo, your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. I'll tell you something we can be thankful for, and it hadn't happened yet. We can be thankful for the justice of God. For the justice of God. If you've ever been hurt, somebody's ever done a crime against you, whether it be assault or theft or, well, I don't know, wrecked your car running from the police, whatever it happens. Oh, wait, no, that was the one that happened to me. Sorry. I wasn't running from the police. They wrecked my car running from the police. And you ever think, man, are they going to pay for it, or are they just going to get away with it? I guarantee you, even if the police didn't catch them, they won't get away with it. Because God is watching, and there will be justice. Now, there's a flip side to this that we need to be careful for, because every one of us is deserving of that justice. And it's not a pleasant kind of justice. The Bible says all have sinned. Therefore, the wages of sin is death. We're talking eternal death, and that is God's justice. However, because of God's mercy, another thing I need to be thankful for, and His grace, another thing we need to be thankful for, He sent Jesus to live a perfect life, die on the cross, raised from the dead, so that He could pay the penalty, so that those who trust Him have a different kind of justice, a substitutionary kind of justice. Somebody's already paid the price, so I don't have to. So you don't have to if you trust Him. And it's another thing we can be thankful for. Verse 10 says, but my horn you will exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eye also shall see my desire upon my enemies, and my ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. We can be thankful for everything God has done in the struggles that we face in our day-to-day life. If you think it's hard with God, think about how hard it would be without Him. If you don't have God in your life, I pity you. I do. Because without God, things are worse. Verse 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. We can flourish in Christ. We can be thankful that we can flourish. What does it mean they're still going to have fruit in their old age? Well, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to have kids, but I'll tell you what they will have. Results. They're going to help somebody in life.
They may even lead a soul to Christ. My grandfather, before he died, like right before he died, while he was in the hospital for the last time, he led a soul to Christ. And I have often said, that's how I want to go. I want to go like that.
We can be thankful that we can flourish in Him. Verse 15 says, to show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. You know, I mentioned the justice of God. We can also be thankful for the holiness of God. How about the perfection of God? There is no imperfection in God. There is nothing that is wrong. He will never make a mistake. He will never fail on a promise. I'm a human. I can fail on a promise. And unfortunately do from time to time. Circumstances happen and things that we say are going to happen don't. And it's disappointing. God never fails on a promise. Everything God does, He does right to the fullest. When Jesus, God's Son, God in the flesh, died on the cross, rose from the dead, everything was done to pay our price. It was done in the fullest. There's no imperfection. There's nothing left that needs done. As a matter of fact, when Jesus kind of breathed His last breath, He said, it is finished. The word used was tetelestai. It's a Greek word, I think. It's Greek. What it means is paid in full, and you'd hear it kind of in the marketplace when you paid your bill off. Boom! Tetelestai. Paid in full. When Jesus died, for those who trust in Christ, our sin debts are paid in full. And we can be thankful for that. And there's one other thing we can be thankful for. If we do not know Christ, we can be thankful that there's one more opportunity to accept Him before it's too late. You say, well, you know, I'm a believer. Why are you preaching this? I'm a believer. I don't know the hearts of men. So it is the duty, the responsibility, and I guess the privilege, because the cross is a sad topic, but it's also an awesome one, of preaching the gospel every time I get behind this pulpit. Whether I've seen and talked to you 5 million times or whether it's the first time I've met you, I pray you will always hear the gospel from this pulpit. Because I have seen people walk the aisle who I thought was saved, and they said, I wasn't. But I am now. And if I stop preaching the gospel because I assume everybody knows Christ, I deny someone the chance to hear it one more time. Let's be thankful for the opportunity to hear the gospel and the chance to receive it.